to The Watchman's Cry, where my dad talks about the end time. So grab your Bible and a pen and paper, and get ready for a good Bible study.
Greetings, brethren. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're listening to The Watchman's Cry. My name is Nathan Liao, and I'm up here on the wall bringing you the news, the reports, the happenings, and the information of what is coming upon the land. Well, folks, before I get started, I have a few quick announcements that I want to bring. If you haven't been on my website in a while, we have totally redone the website. It has a fresh new look. And also, I want to give a grand opening announcement. We've opened our forum. The purpose of this forum is so that believers like yourself who are in the wilderness or who are a part of the underground church or you consider yourself part of the end time remnant can come together and discuss end time things and topics. So go by the website, watchmanscry.com, and check it out. Enter the forum and register, and then you can take part in the conversations. It's a growing family of fellowship, and I'm very, very excited about it. Also, another thing I wanted to say was I really need you to consider and take it to God that Watchman's Cry does need your support, folks. Our message is getting out to the world, brethren. The last time I checked, I believe that the number is up to 40 different countries that have come to Watchman's Cry to read our information, to listen to the sermons, and now to participate in the forums. So that can't happen without your support, so please take it to God and make it a matter of prayer. If He leads you, then go to the donation area of the website and donate. If you do not have the resources to financially support us, then please hold us up in your prayers, because we do need your prayers, as always. Another announcement that I have, we are getting close to finishing our first movie. A few programs ago, I mentioned the DVD that we are working on, and it's taken a little bit longer than I anticipated, but it's going to be a series on the end times called The Watchman's Chronicles. Volume 1 is going to be called The Collapse of America and the Rise of the Beast. And in that volume, we're going to talk about and share biblically what is going on right now in the world, brethren. We're trying to fill in all the blanks of what's happening and compare it to Bible prophecy and Scripture. And I believe that right now, brethren, we are witnessing Bible prophecy in action this very day. So that first volume, The Collapse of America, The Rise of the Beast, will be coming out fairly soon. I'm going to be putting a link on the website so that those of you that want to be kept informed about when it comes out, you can sign up to be on the mailing list so that we can tell you when it's released, and then you can order yourself a copy of it. All right, well, let's get started, folks. There's a lot that I want to talk about today, and I would ask this from you, the listener. This program that I'm going to talk about today, I believe, is going to be one of the most important programs that you will hear right now. I believe that what we're going to talk about is one of the most important, dire, vital pieces of information that you're going to hear. So I would encourage you to share this audio with as many people as you can. Share it with as many family members, friends, and other believers, because the things that we're going to talk about concern you, your family, your loved ones, your friends. And I don't think I have to do a lot of screaming trying to convince anyone any longer that the things that I've been talking about for the last few months are now at our doorstep. I do not think that it would take much of a debate to try to argue those points, because right now, brethren, this very day, we are witnessing the conclusion of the warnings that you have been hearing in the past from the real, true messengers, watchmen, and prophets of God. We are seeing judgment through the gate now. There can be no debate now, folks. And for those that would want to argue that this is just a cycle, a correction, a temporary glitch in the market, make no mistake, brethren, the fulfillment of the words that you have been hearing in the warnings from the men of God, the true, sincere people of God, is happening right now, brethren. And it's not going to go away. We are witnessing right now the decimation of the markets. And we are also seeing the reply of the world, which is panic. We are witnessing right now the vaporizing of wealth. The wealth of man is going up in smoke. And we are also seeing the response of man, which is panic. We are witnessing the vaporizing of retirement funds. And we are also seeing the response of man, which is panic. The financial fallout, men's hearts are beginning to fail them for fear for what is going on right now, brethren. Why is it happening? Why are hearts failing them for fear? It's because the voice of the prophets were not allowed inside of churches. They were not allowed to stand behind pulpits. They were not allowed to get on Christian TV to give a heads up and a warning to all the people of God, to all the people that sit on the pews nationwide on Sunday, all around the world. The prophets of God were not welcomed to give them a heads up warning message 6 months ago, or a year ago, or 2 years ago. And as a result, this is blindsiding so many Christians that go to church now. It's blindsiding so many people that had no clue this was coming. It's blindsiding the people of God because they were not prepared. The rain of the financial flood has come upon the earth, and they have no ark built. They have not gotten their hearts right with God. They have not gotten their houses in order. And as a result, we are seeing panic in men's hearts right now, brethren. The news reports are daily coming out how people are beginning to commit suicide, how men who are losing all their life savings and all of their earthly wealth and possessions are killing their families, their children, and then themselves. The news reports are coming out how people who are losing their houses, when the sheriff knocks on the front door to serve them with an eviction notice and foreclosure notice, are instead choosing to commit suicide. Men's hearts are failing them for fear, brethren. We are in the time of sorrows, and you have been hearing this watchman warn that these days were coming. And not only myself, you have heard other watchmen and prophets and messengers and servants of God try to give this message to the world and to the people of God. Hopefully you are one of the people that have listened. Hopefully you have not closed your ears to the cry of the prophets and you have been making things right between you and your Creator. Hopefully you have been getting your house in order. Hopefully, brethren. You know, I've had messages, I've written articles on my website that talk about getting out of debt, selling your expensive car that has expensive payments, getting rid of your credit cards. But you know, folks, honestly, for some people that are finally realizing this and deciding that it's time to get out of debt, it might be too late for you. It might be too late for you to try to sell your car. We are in very, very serious times right now, brethren. In the news, California is about to be bankrupt. Arnold Schwarzenegger is crying for aid from Washington. I prophesied over you, California, and I said that your fruit, your bounty, will die on the vine. And you have still chosen to walk through the path of judgment. It's time to reap the harvest of the seeds that you have sown in evil against the laws of God. God will not be mocked, folks. And now we hear on the news that the Supreme Court fools in Connecticut have also joined the fray of these evildoers, and they have legalized gay marriage as well. Connecticut, I speak to you as well. You are putting yourself in the firing line of God's judging hand by doing this. Brethren, in this day where we see the judgment of God happen upon the land, now is not the time to be tempting God and tempting His anger. Now is not the time to play games with your souls. It's time to do otherwise. And in addition to Connecticut, we also have Massachusetts that's joined that fray as well. So we have three states with foolish leaders. You know, brethren, it totally amazes me how in these times where it is so obvious that man has no control over the fate of the financial market and what is going to happen in our future, where it is so obvious that we need help from someone a lot bigger than ourselves, it amazes me that the leaders in our government would choose to go the opposite way than the statutes of God. So we have California, Connecticut, Massachusetts. God will not be mocked, brethren. And in the days ahead, you will see the fruit of their decision happening before your very eyes on the front pages of newspapers. California, we are soon going to see where you are going to announce that you're bankrupt and you can no longer pay your employees, where you will have to do massive layoffs of civil workers and civil servants. You will pay the price, California. God is not going to be mocked. Folks, we are witnessing in real time what the prophets have been warning about. It's happening so fast. God sees everything. There is nothing that you can hide from God. You think you turn off the lights and He doesn't notice? You think you can wait till the sun goes down and He doesn't notice? You think you can say things in a whisper and God doesn't hear? There is no place in this universe to hide from God, brethren. Man has forgotten that he was created. Man has forgotten that he didn't come from a glob of ooze from the ocean billions of years ago. Our governmental leaders have forgotten that they are accountable to their Creator. They've forgotten it. The financial kings of this earth have forgotten that there is a king higher than them. Now God will not be mocked, brethren. A sinning nation will pay the price of the judgment of God. The people have been deceived with words that tell them that they deserve all the golden calves that they can acquire. Idolatry overshadows the people right now, brethren. Materialism, coveting. This crisis will not be stopped by man. Folks, did you ever wonder what living in historical times would feel like? To live during the Civil War, to live during the Roman Empire, or the time of Christ? Well, guess what, brethren? Right now, this very day, you are living in a historical time. So what you need to be doing is getting a video camera and taping yourself, taping your thoughts right this very day. Or writing in a journal what you're thinking about, because these are historical times that you will look back on. Brethren, the world right now is going through a transition. And very soon, in our future, this world will no longer be the same. We are witnessing a metamorphosis right now. We are witnessing political metamorphosis, changing before our very eyes, transitions. We are witnessing things that you never thought you would see in your lifetime. There's going to be a change for all of us, brethren. You know, Obama talks about change. There's going to be a change, all right, brethren. With or without Obama, it's going to happen. The leaders of the free world are running up and down the financial levee, putting their fingers in their cigars and their gum in holes that keep appearing on this levee. Last week, they had a pile of dollar bills, 700 billion of them, and they covered this financial levy with those bills. Guess what, brethren? Here we are a week later, and the levy has sprung new leaks. Our leaders are looking at each other, bewildered and confused. The G7 summit is occurring right now, trying to solve this crisis. No matter what they do, brethren, it's going to fail. Why? Because this is bigger than them. This is God. There's a mass exodus daily of the stock market right now in the financial world. It's happening daily, brethren. People are trying to take their money out and save what little they have left. Well, recently, brethren, the stock market has been experiencing a phenomenon that's very, very disturbing, and that is this. People are fleeing the stock market, but they are also fleeing the bond market. They're taking their money out of both. That's a very disturbing thing, brethren, because that means that people have no more confidence in the markets. And if people have no confidence in the markets and they don't invest in the bond market, companies rely on the bond market to function. They rely on this credit to buy their inventories, to buy raw materials, so that they can make their widgets and sell them at the stores. If there's no money available for companies in the bond market, brethren, the last time something like that happened was during the 1930s when we saw the Great Depression happen. And we are seeing that happen right now. We are seeing the financial world shape up right now for a very, very large fall, just like we did in the Great Depression. But this time around, brethren, it's worldwide, and everybody's going to feel it. Man will not be able to solve this, brethren. Now, this weekend, there has been a summit for G7 members in Europe to try to solve this problem. And an analyst who attended these meetings made a statement, and they said, they're without answers. The International Monetary Fund has activated its emergency mechanism. They're on life support right now, brethren. Emergency life support. The triggers have been going off in financial markets all over the world. When the market goes down too quickly, a trigger will go off, and the market in that particular country will turn off temporarily. Russia has been experiencing that very thing in the last few weeks. Every day, one time to two times to three times, the Russian stock market turns off because the stocks are falling so fast. And they do this so that the people can take a breath, breathe into a paper bag, and try to calm down, and then it starts again, and the panic resumes. We are seeing that happen worldwide, brethren. Russia has experienced it. Iceland is bankrupt. They're done. Their market is bankrupt. The Jakarta market is shut down because it went down too fast, and they've been shut down now for several days. Japan's Nikkei market is seeing losses of 9 to 10% every day, brethren. 9 to 10%. In the last 7 days here in America, the stock market has declined the most that it ever has in history. In 7 days, brethren. And this happened after the great bailout plan. Brethren, what we see happening right now is not going to be stopped. Now, the thing that I wanted to say, brethren, a couple of Mondays ago, I believe it'll be 2 weeks ago almost, the stock market crashed. There was panic when the bailout plan failed to pass the first time. The stock market reacted. And this is what I want to share with every one of you. Folks, listen to what I'm about to tell you. Over and over in Scripture, we hear God tell us, to him that has the ears to hear and the eyes to see. Jesus said that in the book of Revelation. Him that has the eyes to see and the ears to hear. When Jesus was on earth, He spoke in parables because he only wanted those that had the eyes to see and the ears to hear to understand what he was saying. Now, an event occurred 2 weeks ago that God had his hand in, and it was a message to the world, and most of the world did not hear this message or see the message that happened. On that Monday, when the bailout plan failed, the stock market dropped 777 points. In fact, it was 777.68, which you could round up to another 7. So, it was 777.7. The percentage of the drop was, if you round it up, 7%. On that day, brethren, that day, something was triggered in the invisible realm. The judgment of God entered a new phase on that day. When God does something on the earth, brethren, He never does it without warning. He never does it without leaving His footprint to let us know who's behind it. And on that day, brethren, God left His footprint on what was happening and what we now see happening in the world financial crash. God left His footprint right there. The stock market dropped 777 points. And to those that have the ear to hear and the eyes to see, they saw that. But the majority of Christians did not see it. What God was saying was, this is my hand that is allowing this to happen. And to show you that it is my hand that is allowing this to happen, I'm going to put my number there. 777. It's a number of perfection, brethren. Now, I'm not trying to get into voodoo or witchcraft and claim that this is voodoo or witchcraft. Jesus shows us over and over. In the book of Revelation, there are 7 churches. There are 7 angels. There are 7 spirits. There are 7 seals. That's God's number. 3 sevens is His number of perfection. This is His perfect judgment, brethren. And when that happened, the Spirit of God revealed to me, my hand is in this. My hand is going to allow this to continue. And man will not stop my hand in this world. It will not be stopped, brethren. And what did the people say on that day? They just talked about it failing. And then they started running around like ants or chickens with no heads. They ran around and they cried out for the king to save them. I've talked to several people since that happened, and I asked them, are you concerned? And they said, no, because the government's going to come up with a plan. I have heard Christians say those words, brethren. The government will save us. The government will help us. How many of you said that? How many of you have thought that? The government will save us. They'll come up with a plan. I'm not worried. I have faith in them. We're strong Americans. We're resourceful Americans. But folks, think about this. God is up in heaven looking down upon us on the earth, here, us, His creation. And what does He hear us saying in the midst of this financial crash? Now, let me put it in layman's terms, brethren, because God's hearing what people are saying. God's up in heaven looking down, and He is hearing Christians saying, our king will save us. Our earthly king will save us. How does He feel about that, brethren? Is He angry? Does He laugh at the silly little humans who depend on themselves? I don't know. I'm not God. I just know this. For somebody to say that our king will save us shows and exposes where their faith is. The king's going to save us. They're going to solve it. I hope our King George Bush can solve it instead of acknowledging that God's hand is in it. He put His footprint before the entire world, brethren. I saw it in the news that night. It said -777. The stock market crashed. You would have thought that people on Christian TV would have called prayer meetings and said, we need to repent. God is trying to get our attention. Did that happen, brethren? No, it has not happened. Well, brethren, which man can stop the wind? Which man can stop the waves or the tide? Which man can do it, brethren? None. Which earthly king can do it? None. The judgment is set. How many of today's kings have acknowledged that our nation is sinful and needs to repent, brethren? California hasn't done it. You know, there are so many people in their pride here in America. They believe that it's in the Constitution that if you're an American, your blood is red, white, and blue, and so was Jesus's. I'm an American. God's not going to judge us. Do you know how many missionaries we've sent? God wouldn't judge us. I rebuke your words of judgment. I've heard those, folks. And while people say that God wouldn't judge us, they forget that our nation is full of sin right now. Now, to the folks that are listening to me right now, you may be in one of several groups. Hopefully, you are in the fold of Christ that has already put your house in order, and you are already hiding in the hand of God. Or you are in a different group, and you have not dealt with housekeeping yet. Well, brethren, I want you to know that all hope is not lost for you. There is good news, and I'm going to tell you what is going on, and I'm going to tell you what's coming down the path, and I'm going to share with you from the Bible on how you can prepare to face what's coming. So, right now, everybody listening, get your Bibles, get a notepad, and I want you to take notes. Everything I'm going to tell you is scriptural, and I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to give you the formula so that you can hide yourself and hide your family in the hand of God. Okay, brethren? So do that right now. Go get your Bibles and pause me if you need to pause me. I'll be right here. Go get it. You have your Bible, brethren? Now, folks, now there's another passage of Scripture that I want to talk about that addresses this very issue. You know, people say, there are so many Christians in America right now that God would not judge America because of all the Christians. People believe that, brethren. You know, if your hope is in this thought that's just a part of philosophical tradition of being an American, if your faith happens to be that God would not judge this country because there's Christians here, therefore everyone gets a free ride. Let's look at what the Bible says, brethren. So turn to Ezekiel chapter 14. Don't listen to the watchman. Let's see what the Bible says. Are you there, brethren? Ezekiel chapter 14. Listen to this, folks. This is addressing the children of Israel. Look what it says. Every man of the house of Israel that sets up idols in his heart and puts the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and comes to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that comes according to the multitude of his idols. If he has idols, I'm going to answer him according to his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart because they are estranged from me through their idols. In other words, because of idols, brethren, because of materialism, because of things that people have put in their lives that are more important, because of coveting hearts, because of materialism, those things will cause you to be estranged from God. And today we see the church polluted with the teaching of idolatry and coveting and materialism. Verse 6, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Repent, brethren. Well, what happens if we don't repent? Look at verse 8. Let me say this too, brethren. There are a lot of prosperity churches where the people are not repenting, and they're still full of their idols, and proud of their acquisitions, and their collections of earthly goods. What about those people that have not repented of their idolatry? Verse 8, let's read that. I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb. I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and you will know that I am the Lord. Now, addressing the statement that I mentioned earlier, God won't judge America because we send out missionaries. And besides, do you know how many Christians we have? Let's see what the Bible says. Verse 13, it goes on. Get your highlighter and highlight this, because I want you to remember this. Son of man, when the land sins against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break the staff of bread thereof, and I will send famine upon it, and I will cut off man and beast from it. There you go, brethren. If the land sins, judgment comes. Period. Look at the next verse, verse 14. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in the land, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord. Look at verse 16. And though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they shall deliver neither their sons, their daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. There you go, brethren. Just because there's a prayer warrior down your street does not mean the hand of God will not strike judgment on your town. The only ones that will be saved during the judgment are the righteous ones. Period. Now, I find it interesting that even right here it says, not even the children of the righteous ones will be saved. Only the righteous ones themselves. Brethren, listen to me. If you happen to be a teenager or a young person and you have a praying mother or grandmother and you're playing around with God and you're playing around with your salvation and you think that you get a free get out of jail card, it says right here, you're accountable on your own. Your mama will be saved, but not you. So, what is your job? The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It goes on. Let's read verse 18, brethren. Though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they shall only be delivered themselves. If I send pestilence, that's disease, you know, like bird flu. If I send pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut it off from man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughters. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. He says it again, folks. It's established. Work out your own salvation. And brethren, right now, we are seeing this verse happen. We have seen this passage of Scripture begin in America and across the world. When the land sins, I will judge it. I will stretch out my hand upon it, and I will break it. When the land sins, brethren. So here we are. Here's the situation, and this is my message. The judgment has started, brethren. The hand of God is visiting the works of man right now and undoing their golden calves. So the only thing that we can be concentrating on right now, brethren, step one, number one, is to make sure that we are seen as a righteous one in the eyes of God. To make sure that we are protected by God. To make sure that we are not part of the group that would be cut off from God's mercy. If you have loved ones that have been playing around, brethren, the time for messing around and not challenging your family members or your children has long passed. You need to sit down right now and have a meeting with them and tell them some stern words. You need to tell them that if they do not get their hearts right with God, they're going to pay a price, a hefty price. This is such an important message right now, brethren. Now, 2 weeks ago, when the stock market dropped with God's footprint, 777, God, in the Spirit, told me a few things. And He told me about a passage of Scripture that He wanted me to share. Now, what I am about to share with you right now is going to sound amazing. It's going to sound unbelievable, and some of you are not going to believe what I say. You're going to say it sounds crazy and not believe my words. And if that is you, then so be it. My job is to tell you, to warn you, and then you need to act upon it, brethren. All right? Act upon it with prayer, but take to God what I'm about to tell you. I need you to turn to another passage of Scripture. It's in Ezekiel chapter 9. So turn there, brethren. Ezekiel chapter 9. You need to really look at this, brethren. I can't stress it enough. Get your Bible out. I want you to read it. Take it to God in prayer, what I'm about to show you, okay? Now let's read. Ezekiel chapter 9. And He cried also in my ears with a loud voice. That's God crying, by the way. Saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Now, just to give you a quick background, this is the voice of God calling out His angelic hosts, the angels that are in charge over Jerusalem. It says man, but it's talking about angels in the invisible realm. Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near. Now, what that means is there are angels over every city, brethren. Every city around the world, there are angels. And angels are assigned to different places of the world. The Bible is very clear on that. In this passage right here, God is calling the angels that have charge over the city of Jerusalem. Verse 2. And behold, six men, or angels, came from the way of the high gate, which lies toward the north. And every angel had a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood behind the brazen altar. And he called to the man, or angel, clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Now, what's happening right here, brethren? Six angels came up to God. God said, let them that have charge over the city of Jerusalem come forth. Six angels came to God. Out of the six angels, one of the angels has a writer's inkhorn by his side. Now, how many of you remember in the old days, you would fill a horn with ink? In this particular passage, the angel carries one of these things. There's ink in it, and he uses it to write. He dips his quill into it, and he writes. So God's telling this angel with the writer's inkhorn to step forward. And look what God tells him. Verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. What did that mean? Angel, to you with the writer's inkhorn, I want you to go right now into every house in the city. Go up to every human in the city. And it says man, but it means everyone, brethren. All the people. And the men, and to the people that sigh and cry over the sins of the land. To the people that look around daily, and they are grieved because they see all the sins of the land. To the people that are bothered that sin is tolerated. To the people that are bothered that the priests bring a false message and false prophecies. To the people that get bothered when they hear lies happen in the synagogues and in the churches. To the people who are bothered when they see the sins in their family, in their friends, with the sins over the land. To the people that are bothered when they see the innocent young that are killed and murdered. To the people that are bothered that homosexual unions have become a common thing and that tolerance has taken over. To the people that are bothered about that, put a mark on their head with your writer's inkhorn. Mark them. Verse 5, brethren. To the others, he said in my hearing, now I want you to go after the angel that has the writer's inkhorn. You go after him. and you smite, and do not let your eyes spare or have pity. You slay the old and the maids and the children and the women, but do not come near any man whom has the mark. And start first in my sanctuary, in the church, slaying them. So the angels began this. They started it in the church with the judging hand of God. That means some of the priests did not have marks. When God weighed them in the balance, when God looked at their souls and saw that they tolerated all the sin and the garbage and the lies and the coveting hearts and the idolatry and the golden calves, when God saw that people tolerated that and priests tolerated that, they got no mark from God. They were not sealed and they paid the ultimate price. They were destroyed. Brethren, 2 weeks ago, when I was standing in my living room and I saw what the stock market did and God revealed to me that that was His hand, that was His footprint, He told me. He told me in my spirit. This is what He said. I have announced to the world that this is my judging hand. And to those that will listen, they have a period of grace right now. This period of grace is not going to be disclosed on how long it's going to last. It may be a few days. It may be a few weeks. It may be a few months. But in the period of grace right now, starting now, which was 2 weeks ago on Monday, brethren, when the period of grace is over, God is going to have His judging angels walk up and down every street in your town. They're going to walk in front of your house. They're going to walk up your sidewalk to your door. They're going to come in your house. And if you haven't received the mark of God, if you haven't been sealed by God, then judgment is coming upon your house. I don't mean judgment with death, brethren, but I just mean the judgment of God. You will have it in full hurricane force from heaven to those that are not sealed. So this is my message, brethren. Do you sigh and cry? Do you? Does the sin happening around you bother you? Do you weep? Are you grieved? Are you saddened that you've tolerated sin up to this point? Brethren, turn your hearts around right now. Do not delay one day. God has compassion. He wants to come upon you with forgiveness. The mercy of God wants to visit your house, your family, and cover you with His forgiving blood. The merciful hand of Jesus wants to touch you, brethren. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you are, right now is the time to hide yourself in the merciful hand of God and receive His mark of protection. Brethren, this judgment is not going to be stopped. It will not. Some of you listening to me right now might have already started feeling the financial toll. You've probably lost some money in the stock market. Maybe your retirement fund has gone down. But this judgment's going to reach epic proportions. And no matter what God has in store, part of the reason for His judgment, brethren, is to purge us and to bring us back to Him. If He so chooses to let our earthly wealth vaporize, then that's His choice. He's our sovereign King. He's our Lord. By taking up our cross, that means He can do what He wants. He's in control, not us. Brethren, hear my words. I plead with you, brethren, from the depths of my heart, get the seal of God. Get the mark of God. Come to God with sackcloth and ashes and pour your heart out to Him, brethren. Stop the sinning that you're doing. Stop those things in your life that you're tolerating. If you are not sighing and crying, then you will sigh and cry in sorrow from ignoring this message of warning. There are cobwebs in the lives of so many Christians right now. So many Christians have tolerated the heavens of brass. When you try to pray because of your sin, God doesn't hear you. So your prayers bounce off the ceiling and come straight down because you know that you have not entirely surrendered to God. And so the heavens are brass. Brethren, now is the time to break up the fallow ground. Now. I'm going to end with a song. I'm going to play it from Keith Green. And as I play that song, let the Spirit of God overshadow you. And you do what you know you're supposed to do with God. Do it, brethren. God bless you.
Monday night this week, about midnight, I wrote a letter to the Lord. I didn't know where to mail it, so I put it in my Bible. And I asked Him, Lord, You got to do something about my heart. You know, a lot of time's gone by since I met You. And it's starting to harden up. You know, it's just kind of natural. I want to have baby skin, Lord. I want to have skin like a baby on my heart. It's starting to get old and wrinkled and calloused. not because of anything I'm doing. It's because of a lot of things I'm not doing. And I stayed up till about 2 in the morning writing this song.
Faith abounds to me.